Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Titans fall 30-14 to Green Bay yesterday, and the Titans now find themselves in an 0-3 hole. We'll have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us at 7:30, get his reaction to the game yesterday. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Malik Willis comes in yesterday, dominates against his old team. 13 of 19 through the air for 202 yards, one touchdown. Quarterback rating of our QBR of 92.9, a rating of 120.9. Adds another 73 yards on the ground and a touchdown, so like a Michael Vick stat line for Malik Willis yesterday against the Titans. And his head coach, Matt LaFleur, very complimentary of the job that Malik Willis did on the field against the Titans yesterday and the job that he's done filling in for Jordan Love. Here's what Matt LaFleur had to say on Malik Willis yesterday.
Maybe a change of scenery can be good for some guys. And I just cannot articulate the job that he's done in the short period of time. People can't fathom it, I promise you. You guys don't get it. I know you think you got it, but you don't get it. What he's been able to do is, I've never seen something like this. So hats off to him, hats off to everybody around him, guys rallying, having his back. You know, I think Tom Clements does a great job, and it wouldn't, you know, I'd be remiss to say Connor Lewis and Sean Mannion, just the help they've given him, the support. Jordan Love's been instrumental as well, just giving him the tips and hanging right by his side and helping him out all along the way.
Appreciate Gover for sending us that audio from LaFleur yesterday, saying can't really articulate what Malik Willis has done and that he's never seen anything like it. Your reaction to that, Rex Road?
Yeah, thanks, Gover. And also, yeah, you guys think you get it? You don't get it. That was very interesting. Those are strong words about what Malik Willis has done in a short period of time there. And look, to separate everything from the absolute, you know, grease fire of a franchise that we're talking about here in this town, good for Malik Willis. And, you know, last week he gets the questions about, you know, you're going to get some revenge. And he's like, no, man, they drafted me in the league. Total class from that guy. Never been anything else. I think if you have any dealings at all with Malik Willis, or if you're a fan who has observed him from afar, I would think that you'd have to feel good for him. Again, he's going to be QB2 probably starting this week with Vikings Packers and the rest of the season, because hopefully Jordan Love doesn't get hurt. And I think Malik Willis is a QB2 in this league. I don't think differently on that from yesterday, but good for him. Yeah. I think that's one of those things that certainly helps him stay in this league and be more of a commodity moving forward, because that's the type of stuff, you know, it's always the question of, can you win a game or two with your backup? It's always the question, right? Can you win a game or two? Well, he just did.
Yeah.
He just won both. And having just come into a new system. So tremendous for him. I know some people are probably going to go overboard and say that Titans should have been all in on him. And that's a bad take. Frankly, it's a bad take. I get it. I understand how some people would get to that, but that's just
well,
a bad
credit
day
to him for even making that a take that somebody would have today, right? Like, credit to him for doing that. Malik Willis did a great job yesterday. There's no doubt about that. Like, he came in, and I said it earlier in the show, like, go look at the balls he threw yesterday. A lot of them right on the money, right where they needed to be. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. I mean, throwing for over 200 yards, a touchdown, you know, some confidence in his receivers. I mean, that first drive, when he lofted that one up to Christian Watson and he just went right over the top of Roger McCreary, that's a great ball by Malik Willis and a great play by Watson to go up and get it. So, look, Willis deserves all sorts of credit. I just can't believe, like, the Titans basically allowed that to happen yesterday. Like, it's kind of mind-boggling to me. In particular, I've said it, you know, four or five times now, but the two plays that stand out to me, I just don't know how you give up that 3rd and 14, 3rd and 18. I don't know how, in an obvious passing situation, you allow that to happen. And look, Malik Willis, I think, has proven the last 2 weeks that he's slippery back there and can move, and when he breaks the pocket, he can be dangerous. He did it against Indianapolis, and he did it again yesterday, either in the read option game or when he breaks the pocket on a scramble. He's dangerous. I mean, 73 yards on the ground, sometimes it's hard to contain that. And he busted a couple of huge runs yesterday, including a 29-yarder. But sitting back and just letting them complete those passes, I thought was just killer and indicative of the type of day it was for the Titans as a whole.
Yeah. Well, like the 3rd and 14. Look, you're going to – I mean, you're going to zone – you're going to play very little man against Malik Willis.
Yep.
Because when you do, then you really open yourself up. Now your back's turned, and now they can run concepts that sometimes will clear a side of the field, and then you're screwed. I mean, you know, with a guy like that who you probably worry about him as much breaking the pocket and running as you do him throwing, like you're going to be in zone looks. He read it. He saw it. He saw the hole in the middle of the zone. He ripped it. Good for him. I mean, that play by him, it's like what you hope an NFL starting quarterback does. And we didn't see a ton of that from him here. I mean, I think that was a play that showed his progress. We did talk in camp, by the way, Robbie, about progress from Malik Willis. I thought especially early, and then he kind of tapered off, but he has been getting better. You know, Malik Willis is, it's just like the whole quarterback discussion in this league, you know, he is a lesser example than Jordan Love, right? But both the quarterbacks, top two quarterbacks of the Packers, you think one thing very early in the career and it's not good. Indications are very negative. And then, wow, amazing, 2-3 years into a career, how you can get better. And, of course, Malik Willis, one of his problems, just like Will Levis, is changing coaches, changing coordinators, changing schemes and all that stuff. But, again, we keep coming back to overall in this league, maybe don't judge the quarterback and his what he is after a handful of games or a year or two. Like, people can get better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then – it's amazing, simplistic as this sounds, how different a quarterback looks when they're not being picked up and slammed down on their back every play.
There's that too.
Which is what it feels like is happening with the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, that's been a lot of what we got on the text line today is I cannot believe, again, how bad this thing is on the offensive line. And, Joe, I can't believe it either. Like, I don't really know what the solution is moving forward, too. Like, if Petit Frere is as bad as he has been the last 2 weeks, which, I mean, it looks like that's what he is. Obviously, Jalen Duncan is not the answer over there at right tackle. I don't know what you do. Like, I don't know what the answer is at right tackle if Petit Frere is going to be as bad as he's been the last 2 weeks. He has been atrocious, atrocious the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm seeing it's been very bad. It's been very bad. And I'm seeing people – I've seen – already this year, people, what about Skoronski to left tackle? And you put Latham back to right tackle, you know? I mean, if you're watching Skoronski right now, pass protected guard, I don't know why you're suggesting he should play tackle. I don't think that's the answer. But I will say, right tackle, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe if we're going to do something drastic here, I would probably say, do you start looking at Raiden's there and then Brunskill at right guard? I mean, I think that might have to be something that gets a look because it's just really bad. Duncan came in and it was predictably even worse than Petit Frere yesterday. So, and look, if you're that bad at one spot and, you know, your left tackle is ups and downs, I think it's overall trending well for him, but still ups and downs, man, you're just in a world of hurt.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharski coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Packers and the Titans yesterday. More of your thoughts coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
You're still firmly put on him being your quarterback.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing. I mean, we got to play better around him. Again, I'm not going to overreact to an interception. Those things happen. Guys throw picks. We just can't give it to their team. We keep giving up points the other way. It's killer. It's hard to overcome. We've not played a complete game in any phase at any point yet. We're capable of way better than what we put on the field the last 3 weeks. And, no one's coming to save us. So we got to figure it out.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday taking your thoughts on the Titans' loss to Green Bay 30-14 at Nissan Stadium yesterday. 615-737-1025. Got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at Bridgestone Arena in their preseason home opener this Saturday. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Let's welcome in Adam in Portland on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Dude, I haven't felt like this in a long time. I don't even know what to – like, it's so much the whole thing was bad across the board. And even the places that I thought were buttoned up were horrible. If we were looking in the mirror, Malik also had a lot of people drop balls that were wide open. It should have been way worse. Like, it should have been a horrible, horrible score for the Titans. It wasn't great. Like, it looks like we were within two possessions. We really weren't the whole game. He just stomped us in front of all of our fans. Like, this is the worst. It's the worst loss I've ever seen. It's the worst one I've ever seen. I've been fans the entire way. It's the worst I've ever seen. The defense sucks. They're overrated. The daddy should be fired. They need to fire. He needs to fire his dad this morning. Love you. You're fired. Like, it needs to be bad, dude. Like, this is, it's a joke. Our coaching staff's a joke. The whole thing is a joke, dude. Like, this is, start from the bottom. If not, sell the dang team. Like, this start from the bottom. Cut them all. I don't care. The offensive line, you could have got dude killed. He might suck. He might not. That's the worst offensive line I've ever seen put together. Fire two tackles and go get two practice squad players. I don't know what to tell you. It's the worst thing I've ever seen before, dude. That's all I got.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Adam with that venting this morning.
That was good. That was good venting. I almost just want to leave that vent alone. And you know what? That's what we're here for. Vent away.
Sure.
I would say the one guy I would not fire was probably the one guy on the staff who we know has been great at his job for decades.
Probably.
It'd probably be the, I probably wouldn't go there and fire him. There are a lot of other people in this organization. Let's see. Let's start at the top. You got Rand Carthen. You got Chad Brinker as a president. You got Brian Callahan, a first-time coach. Nick Holtz, first-time OC. Denard Wilson, first-time DC. It's all looking rough. You got your special teams coach, who, hey, no punt blocks.
Hey, so you got progress.
You did have the holding for Jeff Simmons. Weird play. That was a killer play, too. Missed field goal from Narveson turns into a touchdown after the Levis turnover. I mean, that was or after the fourth down that got stopped. That was a killer sequence. So that's another special teams. I'd like to – actually, that would be – I'd like to hear from – it'll be interesting to hear Brian Callahan on that one because that one is a little questionable. Regardless, there's a whole bunch of people in this organization. We don't know if they're good or not. Will Levis included, right? All these people. Bill Callahan, we do know is good. I mean,
yeah.
So I wouldn't fire him, but I would look at the offensive line he's been given and say, certainly you want more from him and more from them, but also it probably speaks to just the really bad situation of choosing players for this franchise over years and over different people and collaborations gone bad. I mean, it's just a really bad situation.
Well, look,
if you're that bad up front, you're not going to be good.
We talked about Petit Frere. Peter Skoronski's terrible. Right now, I don't know if that's just some indictment long-term of what he's always going to be, but right now he's terrible. I mean, he was disastrous in week one. Go back and watch some of those plays yesterday. I mean, he's just getting absolutely bowled over on the way to the quarterback. It's a disaster at left guard right now. So if you're going to be that bad at right tackle, you're going to be that bad at left guard. I mean, that's two spots where you're just getting absolutely smoked play after play after play. You just don't have a chance. And look, you compound that with, Levis right now has not been all that good to begin the season, and he makes one or two mistakes every game that are just killer that you can't have. So that combination, that's how you end up 0-3, by the way. And look, let's call it what it is. There's a lot of different avenues you can take from how they've gotten to 0-3 at this point. You know, getting out coached in game one against the Bears was probably not the answer. I mean, they had a disastrous turnover from their quarterback and some Olay blocking on the punt. Yesterday, they got outcoached. From the start of the game to the end of the game, they got their hats handed to them by the Packers coaching staff yesterday.
I think that's very fair. I think that's absolutely true. And again, you know, Malik Willis also made some plays on his own where you're just like, hey, you tip the cap. Then the tackling on defense. Man, we haven't talked much about that. There's just so many things to get to with how many things are bad right now with this team. What's up with the tackling all of a sudden? You know, but I agree. It was absolutely a coaching mismatch yesterday. So, I mean, you can go up and down this thing and find issues. The Skoronski thing is, because again, look, it's not just you know, your starting left guard is a problem, it's, again, the number 11 pick. And so the number 11 pick, and I've been, like, going to this year, I'm like, I'm sure he'll be fine. You know, he'll be a pretty good player. He'll start in this league for a long time. I'm not even sure about that anymore. I mean, it's just, it's a rough situation. And, again, that you talk about a killer right now, the way it looks, decision to go with him in that draft, in Rand Carthon's first draft as GM.
Well,
again, it's Vrabel then, and now Vrabel's gone. So, you figure out whoever you want to blame. But, again, start with the top of this organization.
No doubt about it.
Amy Adams Strong.
No doubt about it. And you look at the, it's one thing to not be a great player at left guard when you're drafted at number 11. We've talked about that. Like, if you're going to draft somebody there at that spot at number 11, you need them to be great. Right now, I'd settle for, like, fine, good. I mean, he's horrible. He has been horrible the first 3 weeks of the season. I actually thought he rebounded somewhat nicely against the Jets, but to come out and play the way that he did yesterday, it was just brutal. And, look, I'm glad you brought up the field goal. So you get the field goal that's a missed kick, and the penalty negates it. They go right back down the field and score after that. You know, where's Jeffrey Simmons? Jeffrey Simmons got credited with a sack yesterday basically because it was a coverage sack and Malik Willis ended up running into him is basically what happened. Where's Jeffrey Simmons? Like, there's – and I know people are going to say, well, he's taken up a couple blockers, and I'm sure you can find examples where that's the case. And I'm not saying that they're better off not having Jeffrey Simmons in there, but Jeffrey Simmons is not making the impact on these games that he's paid to make. And I'm sorry. Like, if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. He's not making the impact on these games that he's paid to make.
No, he is not right now a great player. And the Sweat Simmons, I mean, yesterday in particular, I thought it didn't really. And, look, maybe it's a different kind of game, because of what you're playing. You're playing it. It's a QB run game and all that. But still, those guys are not the combination. I always thought that was a key to this defense being good, and it wasn't there yesterday. And yes, Jeff Simmons last week, nobody runs on the Titans. Well, the Packers ran all over the Titans, and I'm with you. He's a good player, but he's paid to be a great player.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get PK's thoughts on the debacle that was yesterday's game against the Green Bay Packers, the Titans falling to 0-3, and where things go from here. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Packers win 30-14 to drop the Titans to 0-3. At Nissan Stadium yesterday. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. So, PK, I'll just turn it over to you. Malik Willis, 13-19, 202 yards, a touchdown through the air, another 73, and a touchdown on the ground. Titans get destroyed by the Packers. They drop to 0-3. What do you make of that one yesterday, and what do you make of just the debacle that was the Tennessee Titans to begin this season?
I mean, first off, an excellent, excellent performance by Malik Willis, far better than I ever thought I would see. Average yards per attempt, like 4 yards better than Levis. Great game plan by LaFleur, executed superbly. And some of that stuff's happening before they get the run game going, really. I think Ernest Jones said it best. He said that statistical stuff about our defense was bleep. We play good defense when it doesn't mean much, and at the moments that it means a lot, we don't play good defense. And, that's a bad defensive performance. No turnovers in three games by an allegedly good defense, and by that quarterback is really weak, and that the offense can't match Malik Willis, is a massive, massive indictment. So congratulations to Green Bay on that, and that's a huge stain, I think, on the Titans right now.
What does it all mean, PK? What does it all mean? How low is this? Who needs to be fired? Etc.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's getting fired, and I think it means, the verdict on what they're doing is not coming for a while. It's a slower process that requires more patience than any of us wanted to grant them. But it's certainly not any good anytime soon. They've got another backup quarterback coming up. I don't know what Skylar Thompson's status is. Tim Boyle's one of the worst. I mean, as I said, Malik Willis is the worst backup quarterback in the league. Tim Boyle, you know, another one who's horrific. You know, it's hard to imagine them going to Miami, no matter who's playing quarterback, and matching up with those receivers. I don't really understand what's going on with offense, why you choose, after you sign a guy for the money that you chose to spend on Calvin Ridley, why you're throwing a deep ball to double-team Treylon Burks, who the verdict is in on. They couldn't run. They only had the ball for 10 minutes in the first half, which is really on the defense. But I mean, all they can do is go back to the drawing board. That's too cliche. Yeah, they just have to get back to work. And I mean, the root cause of all of this.
Got a coach better, got to play better, PK.
Root cause of all of this is, you know, if you could pick one thing to fix, it's the pass protection. They don't have the players to do it, but they have a coach who's done it with bad players before. And Bill Callahan's got to get to work and figure out something, particularly on the right side. I don't think Petit Frere's showing up there again anytime soon. So it's a big week for Jalen Duncan to get pounded on by his coach and to figure out a way to be better than what they've been doing over there.
Real fast, are you sure about that? Because, man, he was actually worse than Petit Frere. I mean, in a very small sample size, but – my goodness, are you sure they're going to go roll with Duncan?
No, I'm not sure, but I thought that's what Brian Callahan kind of indicated in his answer post game when I asked him, you know, is what's next at right tackle, and I thought he said JD, you know, I thought he pretty much said JD. But I mean, they've got to figure out something over there, and it wasn't. I mean, everybody partook in the problems there, you know. Callahan, big Callahan, has, you know, the magic hasn't happened in the first three games. That doesn't make him a bad offensive line coach. It makes him an offensive line coach who doesn't have good enough players and needs time to maximize what he has. And you hope that's coming sooner rather than later, but you have no reason to believe it is.
So, PK, it wasn't a backhanded underhand flip out of bounds that ended up in a pick six. It wasn't a bowling ball roll to Tajay Spears, but it was another pick six for Will Levis yesterday to Jair Alexander on a route that he just set back, read the whole way, and immediately picked off. Overall, what did you make of that play? What did you make of Will Levis's day yesterday?
Yeah, they're kind of dismissive of that pick. Both Brian Callahan and Will Levis were like, well, that was just a regular interception. You know, so score him up because it wasn't an incredibly dumb play. I mean, he stared him down from the start, and Alexander was, you know, very clearly ready to go there. You've got to look away from that play. So it's a bad play against an all-pro caliber cornerback. Levis was better. I mean, he put up better numbers. And in the second half, he's getting sacked 7 out of 8 times. I don't think you can pass much judgment on Levis. I mean, he's under an extreme attack. So there wasn't much he could do. I don't think it was much of a quarterback rating game. I think it was an offensive line rating game. You know, he made a couple throws. Hopkins got going, which was an encouraging thing. But, you know, I don't think when Hopkins gets going, it means that Ridley has to disappear. So just so much to work on. But, again, the root cause, so many things went wrong yesterday, but the root cause of everything, if you pick one thing to start with, it's pass protection, and that's been the answer to that question for too long.
So tons of – I did want to go back to that because there's just tons of, you know, suggestions and complaints and things like that, as you can imagine, PK, on the text line. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, Skoronski was a left tackle in college and they never should have moved him. And my answer to that is, guys, if you're watching him play left guard right now and you think that he could make it as a left tackle in the NFL right now, I don't know what to tell you. Tons of college linemen are left tackles who then go into the NFL and play other positions. It's usually the best player on your team in college plays left tackle, and then a lot of those guys go on to right tackle, they play guard or whatever. I dismiss that out of hand, but I talked earlier, PK, about what about, like, Raiden's pumping out, and then you bring in Brunskill at right guard. I mean, I think that might – it doesn't sound great, but, I mean, I just don't see an answer among those two guys right now at right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to roll through their right tackles before they're going to start taking people who are on the offensive line in other positions and move them. But I don't know. I would think that everything is an option. I don't think that Skoronski to tackle is an option. I mean, this is two regimes that, including Bill Callahan, who's a very good, very experienced offensive line coach, who have determined that Skoronski is a guard. And they determined that Skoronski is a guard very quickly. They didn't say, we're going to come in and we're going to play around with him and put him at a couple different positions and determine if he's a guard. I mean, they had determined he was a guard, in the spring before they were on the field. You know, at the owners' meetings, they said he was a guard. At the combine, they might have said he was a guard. So I wouldn't count on him moving to tackle. You just have to come to terms with some things. In the potential answers, that's not one.
So, PK, last week, Jeffrey Simmons says nobody runs the ball in the Tennessee Titans, and then Green Bay puts up 188 yards on the ground against the Tennessee Titans. I guess my question for you is, like, where is Simmons in this defense in big moments where they need him? If you look at their numbers right now, other than not forcing turnovers, they played well on defense through the first 3 weeks from a numbers, a yardage allowed standpoint. But big moments, it seems like every time they need a big play, they just don't make it.
Yeah, they gave up a 3rd and 18 and a 3rd and 14,
yep,
which is absolutely sinful. Jeffrey Simmons says nobody runs on Tennessee Titans. And yesterday he said, well, all the runs were to the perimeter. So we know where Jeffrey Simmons doesn't line up. He doesn't line up on the perimeter. So, Jeffrey Simmons has an answer for everything to make sure we know that it doesn't involve him. So I think, you know, that's getting old. I don't know where Jeffrey Simmons makes more plays in that game. I just know that if Jeffrey Simmons is what Jeffrey Simmons thinks he is and what the Tennessee Titans think he is, he's got to find some plays in that game. He's got to make some plays in that game. And last week, Tracy Rocker, the defensive line coach, was saying, well, you know, I need some plays out of Sweat, out of Coburn, out of Lynch. And I was thinking, how about out of Simmons? Are we not allowed to say that you want some plays out of Simmons? I mean, he's good, trending towards okay, but he's nowhere near elite right now. And so teams don't run up the middle. Great. The Titans, you know, I don't know. I think Simmons thinks that they somehow get a win in the column because teams don't run the ball up the middle. But if they can run freely around the corners, who cares? Like, where they run doesn't matter. That they run matters. And they certainly ran yesterday and broke tackles on runs, on screens, on everything, and set things up. I mean, as a Packers fan, that must have been amazing to watch.
And a lot of them in the stadium, by the way, yesterday.
Oh,
PK.
My God. I thought, listen, opposing fans flood that stadium on a regular basis. I don't know that it's ever been like it was yesterday. They're usually lower deck. You know, they come and they get premium stuff. Yesterday, there was a lot of green and gold in the upper deck, and they were more audible, I think, than any time. Maybe I've got some recency bias, but they were more audible than I can remember a visiting fan base being.
So in light of that, as I asked you a week ago, if this team loses to Malik Willis, the low point, how low is that point? How does it compare now that it's happened the way it happened? How do you just assess this franchise right now?
Well, until the Jaguars and or the Bengals lose tonight, they're the only 0-3 team in the league. And even if one of those teams or both lose tonight, I think they've got to qualify as the worst team in football right now based on the way they've played. You know, Bengals almost won in Kansas City. Maybe the Jaguars would be even with them, but it's bad. They're at the bottom. They've got a lot of climbing to do. Now, does that mean you lose complete faith three games into a rebuilding season with so much newness? I don't feel that way, but I understand fans' frustration. They expected more out of a team that added a lot of veteran help that on paper looks good. And what's on paper and what's on grass do not match up right now. And it's incredibly disappointing and frustrating to see. And, they're not getting any benefit of the doubt. The honeymoon period is definitely over.
Well said. PK, thanks for being with us. Really looking forward to having you in on Wednesday to continue to break it down. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, boys.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. Our guest joins us every Monday morning at 7:30 and every Wednesday, really from 7:30 to 9 here on the program as well. We've got the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I have great respect for both blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, here we go. Having a strong history with both Brent Venables and Josh Hoople as player slash coach has led to far too many requests for interviews. So I'm respectfully declining them all.
Yes.
You know what, Bob? As long as you decline everybody else, that's cool.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Every now and then, Kuharsky will show up, and we'll start ranting as well. So make sure you tune in every morning for that. I have a very quick rant to get to, and then we'll get a little bit into the Tennessee-Oklahoma game. I knew we would not have a ton of time this morning to discuss Tennessee-Oklahoma. Number one, congratulations to the Oklahoma offensive line, who got their butts kicked from start to finish in that game, and somehow never got called for holding. No holding in the game. It was pretty wild to behold. But on the officiating front,
if you let people run past you, you're not holding.
I guess
right?
That's true. I mean, if you just totally whiff, I guess there's no holding that takes place. But I thought that was pretty incredible. Tennessee 10 penalties for 82 yards. Oklahoma 3 for 32. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff there. There was one play in the game that just made me throw my hands up. And it was like either late first quarter, early second quarter, Oklahoma drops back to pass. And, of course, Jackson Arnold is still in the game at that point, under pressure, gets rid of the football, clearly a pass. The ball lands like 6 yards past the line of scrimmage, hits the ground, it's incomplete. And there's no whistle. And Tennessee players are just kind of looking around like, all right. And one of them picks up the ball and starts running. And then after the Tennessee player picks up the ball, it may have been Jermon McCoy, it gets like 10 yards down the field, and finally the whistle blows after he's getting like hit, and they blow the whistle and blow it incomplete. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, there's going to come a day, and I tweeted about this, there's going to come a day where somebody gets hurt because the officials don't blow the freaking whistle quick enough on a clear and obvious incomplete pass. And what I said on Twitter and what I stand by now is if I was coaching, when that happens, I would open hand slap an official if that happens that way. Blow the whistle. When the ball is clearly incomplete and it goes 7 yards past the line of scrimmage and it's a clear incomplete pass, you don't need to be waiting to blow the whistle for somebody to get hit after the play when the play is clearly dead. Now, there was a play later in the game where it's okay if you don't blow the whistle, which is what you're taught to do as an official. When it's on the line of scrimmage and there's some doubt as to whether or not it was a backward pass, then I'm all for letting the play out and then going to review it if that's the way it goes. But if the ball's 7 yards past the line of scrimmage, Joe, we probably need to figure out how to blow the whistle before people are taking shots to their knees picking up the ball after that play. It drives me crazy when they let that happen.
That's a great point. It brings up kind of a adjacent quick rant. I saw this in our tough loss, our being Nolensville High to Franklin Friday. And I think especially with high school officials, but all officials, when you got a pile of like 8-10 people and no one's going anywhere, blow the whistle so someone doesn't get hurt.
Yes.
I see it way too often where it's just letting it go. Look, if the pile is moving, then fine. You know, moving forward, someone may get hurt there too, but I get it. But if it's just a mass of bodies and there's no move, you blow the whistle. I mean, we're talking about safety in this game. By the way, I don't know if you saw the hit in the New Orleans Eagles game, but that should be a huge fine.
Yeah.
Leading with the head, coming in from the blind side from a player, that's like crap you saw in the 80s in the NFL, and somehow it wasn't flagged yesterday. But blowing the whistle in a lot of cases prevents people from being hurt.
Joe, we'll get back into the Titans here shortly with Corey Curtis coming up at the top of the hour here and get his thoughts on the debacle yesterday against the Packers. Your quick thoughts on Tennessee going into Norman, winning by double digits, a 25-15 win for the Vols on Saturday night. So they waltz in, they get their first win on the road against a top 15 opponent since 2006 when they went down to Athens and beat Georgia. So it's been a long time since Tennessee went on the road and got a win like they did on Saturday. It did not play out, I think, stylistically, the way a lot of people thought. Tennessee's defense was dominant throughout the game, eventually leading to Jackson Arnold being benched and the quarterback switch taking place for Oklahoma. Not a ton going on for Tennessee offensively in that game. Nico had an absolute strike to Dante Thornton for the long 66-yard touchdown. A couple of nice drives put together after that, including a drive where Dylan Sampson finished it off for a touchdown as well. But some conservative play calling by Heupel in the second half. Clearly, they felt like their defense was going to bring them home to victory, and that's what they did. Tennessee gets the big win at Oklahoma. Joe, your thoughts on that game?
Since we're in the rant space, Tennessee fans, you have nothing to complain about. You should be totally happy with this game. Yes, Josh Heupel went conservative. And is it because he was at Oklahoma and he loves the place and he actually was never going to try to run up the score or whatever? I don't know. To me, I think it's smart coaching because you know they have no chance against you with their offensive line. They have no chance. So you play clock in that game and you get the heck out of there with the win. And that's what he did. And, you know, garbage time, couple TDs for the Sooners. It was total domination. They did not reach 100 yards until 11 minutes and change in the fourth quarter. Okay. The second quarter was one of the most I went through it and it's like every single play they ran was either a negative or zero play. They did not ever gain a yard in five possessions. They had a safety and two turnovers, with the two turnovers directly after turning over Nico on strip sacks, and negative 20 yards. It was one of the most, like, it was a Georgia against, you know, Georgia State type stuff. And it was Tennessee at Oklahoma in a night game. So you should be very excited about this defense. This is the best defense a team with this offense has ever had in college football. And there's still stuff to work out with the offense. One thing, I get Lance Hurt back. We see the difficulty of not having Lance Hurt at left tackle. Dane Davis, they moved in the left tackle strip sack, moved in the right tackle strip sack. You know, the depth is a problem on the O-line. But Nico, I thought, you know, made a couple big-time throws, big-time runs, and there's still going to be games ahead where they're going to need more from him. But overall, Vols fans should be thrilled right now. This team's going to the college football playoff.
Big game from Brew McCoy. A couple of big catches from him, including a nice stiff arm after the play or after the run on the first quarter catch. And then another example, Joe, of Dante Thornton just being a big play option in this offense. He's been kind of dealing banged up and dealing with injuries since the first game. But you know that slant they ran across the middle there, it was a perfect ball from Nico. And Thornton shows you kind of the explosion he has after that with the catch and run.
Yes, he's the top off the top off the defense guy, and hopefully he can stay healthy and be more regularly involved. But between that and then also, like you said, Brew looking great, looking like, you know, pre-injury Brew McCoy, things are definitely trending up for that receiving corps in that passing game.
So Tennessee is going to be favored in every game from here on out other than Alabama and Georgia. So barring some sort of wild upset, it looks like Tennessee is going to be in great position for the college football playoff given their win in Oklahoma on Saturday. We'll have a lot more on that coming up tomorrow on the program. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next, get Corey Curtis's thoughts on Malik Willis and the Packers dropping the Titans to 0-3. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.